Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. It's a good crowd here tonight. Building's full. Good crowd's always a sign of good success. We thank the Lord for it. I'm a long way behind enemy territory, bless God. And y'all may need an interpreter tonight. I don't know. And I won't try to communicate. How many have understood what I've said thus far? Very good. I was pastoring in L.A. for about 8 years. Really, actually, UCLA, the upper corner of lower Alabama. Amen. And the Lord had blessed our church, and we'd experienced some growth. And I was invited to speak at an all-black preacher's meeting. And, I mean, I'm so white, honestly. Look up in here a minute. They accused my mama of bathing me in Clorox bleach. I mean, I'm so white, it's spooky. I glow in the dark. They used to call me Casper when I was swimming in the summertime. And white. And I was the only white person in that building. And how many have been in an all-black worship service? They glad to be there. And, I mean, they got excited about the offering. They got to shaking hands. Our people get to taking out handkerchiefs about offering time, but it's usually to wipe away tears from their eyes, you know. But, man, they was excited about the offering. Finally, the preacher got up. And I sat on the front row, and he said, "Well, now, I come to tell you this morning." That organ said, "Zoot, zoot." And my sister said, "Yeah." And then brother said, "Hey, hey, man." And now I told y'all I was white. About then, I started looking like a Q-tip dipped in iodine. My face turned as red. I'm thinking, now that's what they're used to hearing. He said, "Come lay on us what God has laid on you." That organ said, "Zoot, zoot," right there behind him. And I thought, what God laid on me, I forgot 15 minutes ago. I said, that's what they used to hear. And here I am, a mountain preacher, hillbilly preacher. And I said, "Lord God, help me. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'll do the best I can." I walked behind the pulpit. I looked at the crowd. And, I mean, they were anxious for preaching. And I said, "Well, now, I can't do like the brothers do, but I'll do the best I can." That organ said, "Zoot." That lady said, "Yeah." And so I may not do like they do up here, but I'll do the best I can to help you tonight and communicate to you. And if you have any problems, honestly, now, I like to be in meetings where they raise a hand and they don't have questions. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. And I didn't know there's this much Holy Ghost this far north. I mean, I heard some amening going on in here. God help, don't y'all let the fire go out. And I go up north, honestly, it's dead, thrice plucked up by the roots. Amen. And man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. And y'all keep that thing, keep the wood on the fire. Don't be intimidated by academia. They dead anyway. Amen, they ain't doing nothing. Amen. And y'all just keep on serving God and reaching people and enjoying yourself. You don't have to endure religion, you can enjoy it. That's the greatest thing ever happened when you got past some death unto life and regenerated and born from above. If we can't get excited about that, honest to God, what can we get excited about? I was dead in my trespasses and my sins. I was on a slick road to hell. The Bible said I was condemned already because I not believed on the name of the begotten Son of God. But the Holy Ghost came by and convicted me and showed me I was lost. And, man, I got quickened. I'm talking about, praise God, I got born again. Amen, from above. I got engrafted in like a wild olive branch. I got engaged. I'm looking for the bridegroom any time now just to meet us in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And praise his holy name. Malachi, the last chapter of the Old Testament, we enter a book that concluded the canon of the Old Testament. These 39 Old Testament books were concluded with the words of this prophet Malachi. And watch this now, y'all listening. 400 years of darkness are soon to loom over humanity. It's a dark age. No open vision from God, no communication from God. And can I tell y'all, when God stops speaking to mankind, it's a dark hour. Yeah. Amen. When God Almighty ceases to communicate, it's a dark hour. And for 400 years, I'm talking about no open vision, no written word. That's right. No communication. And God seemed to cut the lights off on mankind. But just before he left, he said through Malachi, I got a word for the people of God. Amen. And it wasn't much now. The people of God wasn't much of a crowd. It was just a remnant of people. It parallels very easily with 21st century Christendom. I'm not looking for some great utopia to usher in the rapture. I'm looking for a great falling away. The Bible said, know this also, at perilous times shall come. At evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and there shall be a great falling away. That's apostasy. That's not some kind of a loss of gravity. That's not some rapture. That falling away is what's happening every, it seems like every year it gets worse and worse and worse. Amen. Even in fundamental ranks, we see a great falling away from biblical truth. And he said it's going to get dark just before the sun comes up. By the way, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. And Malachi said, I got a word from God. And if you'll check out that word, Malachi means my messenger. Ain't it good? Look up in here. Ain't it a blessing when God's man opens the word of God and addresses his people and said, I don't have some flash from CNN News. I don't have something from the Fox Network or that godforsaken MSNBC, say amen. But praise God, in this dark hour in which we live, I've got a word from the Lord. Amen and amen. I'm glad he still communicates with his people. And God bless you if you listen. I believe he's got a word for us tonight. Malachi, he said, I'm a messenger of God. I've got a message from God. It was a day when the priests were insincere when God spoke. I mean, priests were living fleshly, carnal lives. Look at it, just turn to chapter 2. I've not got to the text yet. I just want you to notice. But he said in verse 2 of chapter number 3, he said, who may abide, chapter 3, verse 2, in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap, and he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. He said it's starting, the problem starting with leadership. God help Ted Haggard. If y'all hadn't heard about him, sodomite evangelical preacher on all the talk shows, talking about how he had a double life, and God help. Is everybody okay? We're living in a day where anything goes anymore. Here's a man pastoring a church now. He said his counselors have told him he just don't fit in the box. He said, we don't know whether you're a homosexual or a heterosexual. I can tell you what he is. He's a sodomite, bless God. On his way to hell unless he gets saved by the grace of God. Amen. You said you believe a sodomite can get saved? I sure do, and I don't believe he'll stay a sodomite after he gets saved either. Old things are passed away. Hey, look up in here. I'm mainly King James. Is everybody all right? Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, hey, he's no more in Christ than a jaybird is. That's right. Boy, I'm telling you, we're living in days of awful times. The leaders, priests, have become insincere. I think about the politicians of that day. It was all about popularity and how we get the people on our side. Doesn't that sound like today? Do you honestly think a stimulus check's going to turn this thing around? As much as I owe the IRS right now, I'll just sign the back of mine and send it back to them. Amen, friend. Stimulus check. That ain't going to help anything. Amen. But work ethic will help. And some, bless God, burn some of these credit cards, cut them in half, may help a little bit. We're fooling ourselves. It's a dark day. It's a day when the people were inconsistent. Have you ever noticed When you study through the Old Testament, the people of Israel would go from revival down in the valley of apostasy, back to revival and back down to apostasy. It seems as though yet in our circles, and I don't know much about this other crowd. I just know, I don't know much but independent, fundamental, premillennial, missionary, King James only, slobber slanging, high blood pressure, biscuit eating, gravy sopping, amen, sweat wiping, Stamps Baxter singing. Somebody help me, Baptist people. That's all I know about. But I can't believe the inconsistency in our ranks. Places that used to take a stand don't take a stand. And look at me funny for taking a stand. I mean, man, I had my book full of meetings from churches. I looked this past year, about 90% of my meetings are brand new meetings. Not too many repeats. Now, y'all, it may be because I can't preach, but I've got an idea it could be more than that. Amen. You take a stand on issues of the day, it's amazing how soon. That's why the Bible said in light of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But boy, we got a lot of inconsistency. Look up, I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just trying to be honest. It's a dark hour in which we live. This Laodicean age. Have need of nothing. And they don't know they're blind and they're naked. We're living in a dark time. And Malachi comes on the scene, said, I got something to tell you, good news. I want you to focus on verse number 2 of chapter 1. Notice it. He said, I've loved you, saith the Lord. Just listen to that. I've loved you, saith the Lord. I want to help you right now. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know where you just came from, and I don't really know where you're going to. But it's a good thing to get a grip on this truth that God loves you. I mean, in a day of adversity, when everybody's against us, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That's what generation we live in. We're the problem. It was Ahab told old Elijah, said, art thou the man that troubleth Israel? He said, no, I ain't the one. You're the one. We've been identified as a problem. We that adhere to these truths in this Bible, we're the intolerance. You understand? We're the eyesore. We're the salt in the womb. And that's exactly what salt will do. It'll sting when it gets in an open womb. And that's exactly what light will do. We're salt and light. And light hurts and causes discomfort to the eyes that are accustomed to darkness. And we've been identified as a problem. And it's good to know when everybody turns on us. Man, my family can turn on me. My in-laws. Amen. Man, can you believe they voted for Clinton back yonder? Are y'all listening to me? God help. It's hard for me to fellowship around the Christmas table on something like that. You take a stand on a Bible issue in this hour, you're going to have enemies. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what our light does. That's what our life does. I'm telling you, it causes an abrasiveness against the world. We don't have to take strong stands, just take a stand. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take much to have and feel the oppression of the world. And it's good to know that in this hour in which we live, hey, I have loved you, saith the Lord. I like it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us. And it, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, no greater love hath man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. Isaiah put it like this, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord, God bless your heart, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Hey, good news, friend. He still loves us. There's no promise your wife won't leave you. No promise your husband won't leave you. And some of you have experienced that. There's no promise that your children won't disappoint you. But I guarantee you, through every experience of life, it's good to know that he loves us. Amen. Praise God. It's good to know that in the low ebbs of our life and in the deep, dark valleys of our life and by the gravesides of loved ones and by the sick beds of our family members, it's good to know God bless you and He still loves us. That's good news. When we were yet without strength, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly, the just for the unjust. With the help of the Lord, I probably could quote 8 or 10 more proof texts of the love of God. But since I've got a message, it's 10 hours long, you better just let me go on, praise God. My sermons are like a fat woman crawling through a barbed wire fence. A few more points and I'll be through, amen. He submitted to the congregation. He submitted to the remnant of Israel. He said, hey, I'm a caring God. I want to help you before I go any further tonight. I want to remind you that it's not going to get better for us. It's going to get better when the trumpet sounds. Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. That's the prophetic announcement of the Scripture in these last days. But in the middle of it, I'm talking about when the heat's turned up. Praise God. Old Daniel in the lion's den. He, the love of God didn't keep him out of the lion's den, but it kept him out of the lion's mouth. And we may go through some lion's dens, but praise God, He can shut the jaws of the lion. That's good news. Look, y'all stay calm. Don't get excited. Everybody stay real calm, but I'm trying to help you a minute on the truth that God still loves you. Your parents may have put you up for an adoption, but God still loves you. You understand that? Hey, I'm telling you, God still loves you. Hey, you may be disowned by your own family, but God Almighty still loves you. Hey, fundamental brethren may turn their back on our kind and mock us and laugh at us and jeer about the old time way. Hey, but God bless you tonight. God Almighty still loves you. Amen. That's good news. He said, just before it gets real dark, and just before the lights go out on humanity. He said, man, just before the scene closes, and before John the Baptist comes 400 years later, preaching, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He said, I want to leave the remnant with a good word. The word is, I care about you. He's a caring God. Look at verse 14. Top of the page in that Schofield, that third column, 981. If you don't have a Schofield, you're living under a strong disadvantage. Amen. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For notice these words. For I am a great king, saith the Lord, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Not only is he a caring God, but he's a crowned God. He's a crown God. You say, well, it looks bad right now for the home front. You're not looking too far. It looked bad over yonder in Calvary, too, when they crowned him in mockery. They platted a crown of thorns and pierced his brow, and they mocked him, and they said, behold, the king of the Jews. They laughed and said, here's the king. Well, when Pilate heard about it, he nailed to the cross, behold, the king of the Jews. Here's the king of the Jews, and those Jews, those haters of Christ, those deniers of the Messiah, they said, nah, he ain't the king of the Jews. He just said he was the king of the Jews. You take that sign down. Don't you put that up there. And I like what Pilate said. He said, what I've written, I've written. But he didn't know how true he was writing, because he's coming back one day, and he will be the king of the Jews. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They crowned him, they spit in his face, they plucked his beard out. They mocked him. Said, if you're the king, why don't you just come on, get down. If you're God's son, get down, save us and thyself. Save us and thyself. An insincere prayer sent that thief to hell. You're the king, here's your purple robe. You thirst, well, here's you some vinegar to drink. Here's what you can have. We're going to mock you all the way to the grave. And they crowned him in mockery. Praise God, he got up. The Bible said, and I'm he who was dead, but am alive evermore. And the Bible said right now that he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father on the majesty on high. And he is right now making intercession for you and I. And he's crowned mightily. He right now holds his place in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. I'm telling you, all things are running on his time. All things are running on his. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day he will be crowned mightily. Revelations 19 said it upon his thigh. I'll be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his vesture's going to be dipped in blood. And out of his mouth's going to go a sharp two-edged sword. And when he gets back, the Bible said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Hath given him a name that's above every name. And in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he'll be back. When the mountains crumble and the gold turns to ashes, I'm telling you, Jesus will still be Lord. And he'll show up every once in a while now. I was preaching in Long Beach, California several years ago. And the pastor picked me up at the airport and we drove through an industrial area. He said, "You got a minute? I want to take you somewhere and show you something." I said, "As long as we can stop by an In-N-Out Burger and get one of them cheeseburgers, I got all the time in the world, amen." We drove through that area, and he said, "I'm going to take you and show you something interesting." He said, "You didn't see it on the news. You didn't see it on CNN or Ted Turner's news." He said, "It hadn't been publicized yet, but I want to show you something interesting." We rode and rode, and finally got down into an industrial area. They had big industrial buildings. And there was yellow caution tape and lights flashing, utility trucks, the electric company was there, and the gas people were there, and the water people were there. Sheriff's sitting around on every corner. And said, "We can't go much further from this," but said, "I want you to walk down here, and I want you to look." He said, "Can you see the roof on that building way over there?" And there was roofs elevated, and there was one particular roof that you could just see the pitch of it down below all the others. I said, "Yeah, I noticed that." He said, "Well, you didn't hear about it on the news." But said, "We had a tremor come through here." Said, "We have them all the time," said, "people of California are used to faults and quakes." But said, "It was interesting. It was a small tremor, and it only affected that one little area." And said, "That building was swallowed into the ground." I said, "Well, what about that?" He said, "The interesting part is that 85% of the pornographic material that's printed in America comes out of that building right there." Isn't that a coincidence? That it was swallowed up in the ground, lost everything they had. I'm talking about consumed, disappeared. What a coincidence AIDS is. I hate to agree with Jeremiah Wright on anything. Y'all listening to me? But 9/11 wasn't no coincidence. That's a consistency with the Bible. God has always used the enemies of God's people to bring judgment on God's people. That's a Bible practice, friend. Y'all listen to me. We're living in such an hour where God still shows up. God still flexes his muscle. God still, uncovers his arm and said, "I'm still in control of the affairs of men and women and boys and girls. I mean, in him we live, and in him we move, and in him, God bless your heart, we have our being. We couldn't exist without him. He's the King of Kings, and God bless you. He's the Lord of Lords, and I'll tell you, when the moon is dripping blood, he'll still be in control." He's in control. He's in control. He said, "I'm a crowned king. Don't you forget it in this hour. It looks like we've been outnumbered. Looks bad for us. But just about the time y'all think it's all over, the trump of God's going to sound. And there's going to be a rude awakening. I can hear them now. On Ted Turner, on Ted Koppel's Nightline and Barbara Walters. On that show in the morning. What's that show called Them Women Are On? I thought you'd know. Amen. You bit, didn't you? Probably watched it this morning, didn't you? Bless God. I can see them. We don't know what happened, but there's been an evacuation of some extraterrestrial has evacuated that ultra-conservative, right-wing, militant, fundamentalist crowd and said, when good riddance, we're glad they're gone. They're going to be glad we're gone for about 3.5 years till all hell breaks loose. When that salt's gone, man, rot sets in pretty quick. Y'all all right? Now, I don't even know if y'all have understood anything I've said. Thus far, are we all right on the language? But is the language barrier hindering us? Amen. I kind of feel like we got a Mexican church. We don't have a Spanish church because ain't no Spanish people in it. They all Mexican. Say amen. And we have Mexican. They asked me to preach about our Mexican church the other Sunday. God help. I couldn't understand. They got them tambourines going in there and carrying on. I mean, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Jesus, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, all I could get was that hallelujah. Every once in a while, they'd throw a hallelujah in there. I said, that's hallelujah in English. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I got up there to preach, and they knew better. They didn't have, no, there wasn't a soul in there, but one lady understood English. And she knew she couldn't interpret. There's got to be a man interpreter. It's in the King James. So she sat on the front bench, and I preached, and she'd walk up and whisper into that Spanish man's ear what I said. You're talking about threefold interpretation. Y'all listen to it. And I preached an hour and a half. It took 6 hours to preach a message. Amen, y'all. God help me. Some of y'all look at me like they looked at me. Hey, praise God. Watch this, chapter number 3. Familiar verse 6, Malachi 3:6. For I'm the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, I got a word from God. Let me help y'all right now. This will be a good reminder. Hey, he said, I got a word from God. It's a dark hour. A lot of things are changing. I've never seen such change in our movement. What used to be right's wrong. What used to be wrong's right in our circles. Not just in humanity and mankind's morals. I'm talking about biblical fundamentalist morals. Amen. Now watch it. But he said, Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord and I change not. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. One of the great truths, one of the great characteristics of our Savior is that he is an immutable God. Y'all hear me? He's a steady God. He's a steadfast God. He's an always the same God. Amen. He's a yesterday, today, and forever the same God. When the world changes, you might as well write her down. God ain't changing with the world. When the world takes a liberal viewpoint, hey, God is not going to take the view of the world. He's the same God. He's a steadfast God. He's a never changing God. He's an always the same God. And good news in a dark hour. You ain't got to worry about him swapping up now. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord and I changed. Now, I submit to you his precepts haven't changed. I know y'all King James, but man, if somebody don't keep saying it. If y'all ain't King James, I'm at the wrong place. The Word of God's my food. Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Peter 2:2 said, as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Bible said, it's meat. Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Said, you couldn't handle that meat. I've got to come in and give you a little old milk because you can't handle that meat. But the word of God's meat. Word of God's bread. Word of God's water. That washing and regenerating of the word is good water. And if there's anything, sir, I don't want you to miss was my food. Y'all listen to me. I'm real particular about my food. And you Yankees got a lot to learn about good food. Amen. Hey, you look up in here. I'm real particular. When I drink milk, I like that red top. I don't like that purple top. You're borderline effeminate. If you let your wife put that pink top or that purple top in front of you, sir, hey, why don't you just buy a gallon of real milk and then pour some water over it? Amen. I like that red top. I like that milk so thick you got to shake it to get it to pour and chunks of cream come out with it. Amen, friend. Whole milk, sir. I don't want mine watered down. Amen. When I drink Coca-Cola, I don't want that zero Coke. Why you want to pay something for a drink ain't got no caffeine, no sugar? What has it got? Dirty water. And look up in here. Don't tell me that a Coke in a bottle is the same as a Coke in a can. Now, when I drink my Coca-Colas, I want them in about an 8-ounce bottle. Bottle. I want to pop them. When you pop the top off an 8-ounce bottle, I'm telling you, it's the real thing. Smoke comes off the top of that thing. A fog hangs over the top of an 8-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola. I'm telling you, she's stout, neighbor. And when you drink it and burp, look up in here, your nose burns and your eyes water. Hey, you don't get that in a canned Coke. Amen, friend. Hey, I don't want no diet Coke. I don't want no caffeine free. New bunch of ladies up here got these box potatoes, mixed potatoes out of a box. Ma'am, I don't know you at all, but if you was to invite me over to your house and you serve me them Oritas out of and mixed up some kind of potatoes out of a box, listen, ma'am, I'd offend you. I don't know that you'd do that, but if I came, I don't care. I was brought up to be a gentleman. I'm from the South. It's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Open the door. Look up in there. Hey, I'd offend you. It runs in our family. My second daughter, Tara Lynn, we went into a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And let me say, that's a sacred shrine. You go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's the gospel bird. Amen. We walked in a Kentucky Fried Chicken, and my daughter said, Daddy, we can't eat here. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, can't you smell them? I said, what are you talking about? She said, them instant potatoes. I said, they ain't real. She said, I can smell them. Them ain't real taters, Daddy. I said, that's them out of a box. I called the manager over. I said, manager, I said, we've got a sincere problem here. I said, my daughter tells me that y'all got instant potatoes. He hung his head. He said, well, yes, sir, it's a whole lot quicker. I said, well, look up in here. Give us about a bucket of that chicken and some biscuits. Leave them taters off. Amen. Hey, when I want my taters, I want them peeled thin. I want them diced. Is everybody listening? I want them peeled right thin. I want my taters diced. I want them boiled down. I want a stick of butter. Don't put margarine. That's a bunch of junk, margarine. Everybody listening? Tension's right here, right up here where tension is. Hey, come on through here. Hallelujah. Go whoop her good and bring her back. When them babies crying, take them out and rock them. If they keep on crying, use a bigger rock next time. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about my taters now, ma'am. It's serious business. This is deep theological pearls. And I get them taters, sir. I want a stick of butter in it. I want a can of that pet milk in mine. And I don't want you just to mash them and leave big old lumps in them. I want them whipped. Somebody help me. Hey, I want the real thing. I've got a craving for the real thing. Hey, man. When I drink coffee, don't give me that old orange top coffee. People say, it's the same. It ain't the same. If coffee don't make you shake, you ain't got coffee. Listen, the coffee, when it's made right, if it spills on you and goes in your pores, you hear me? If you absorb it through your skin, it ought to make your eyes wiggle. Talk about decaf, same. Decaf ain't the same. That's why it's called decaf. I'm making a point. This word of God ain't changing. And I don't like you messing with my food. And when it comes to this Bible, here's what you better do. You better give it to me straight. Amen. Give it to me straight. Give it to me straight. Hey, give it to me straight. Don't be messing with the Bible. Just give it to me straight. And I'll go help on all this great controversy that's come out. I don't know what they believe in Hammond. I don't know what they believe in Chattanooga. And I don't know what they believe at Bob Jones anymore. Well, I'm going to help y'all a little bit on this preservation. You asked me to come. Is the Word of God inspired or is it just preserved in English? Let me help y'all. My wife and I, we got a little old farm in the country. I laid off two big old long rows and put in them Blue Lake beans, them good Blue Lake green beans. Two long rows. They come in. That means they matured. I saw y'all looking like they walked into the house or something. Amen. Praise the Lord, you guys. Pastor Hudson, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, watch this. And they come in, and I got them youngins. We gather. We got us a bunch of Walmart sacks. We gather beans. We gather 2 or 3 bushels worth of beans. Took them in there and sank, washed them off. We broke them, strung them, the ones that needed strung. Sir, we broke them, put them little ends off. Y'all listening? And we cooked them and got the jars ready, got that pressure cooker ready. And then we put those green beans in those jars. And then we put a lid on them, and then we screwed it on. And we put them in that pressure cooker, and they got to pop, seal it. Them tops got to seal it. And we took them out, sir, and dried them off and set them up on the shelves. Them green beans we gathered. We called it preserving them. And then guess what we did? I can get you some. And then guess what we did? About fall of the year, we opened some of them cans up, poured them over in a good saucepan, put the heat under them, started eating them. Let me ask y'all something. Was them the same beans that I preserved? Or was they, they looked the same. Those exact same beans that I gathered off that row. Them beans was the same beans me and my youngins gathered. It's the same beans we cooked. It was the same beans we preserved in that jar. And it was the same beans we poured out. They wasn't some other kind of beans. And we didn't lose 3-6% of the Bible in the translation. We didn't lose 3% of our beans. The only thing we lost was what we cut out. And that was called canonizing. That's what happened when the Bible, hey, y'all listening? When the Bible was canonized, that's what they cut out. That Apocrypha, that's what they left. Hey, man, they just fed it to the hogs. We kept the beans, and they're kept, and we've still got jars of them. The same beans, they're kept. Hey, man, don't mess with my food. He hadn't changed his precepts. Psalms 119, 140 said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servants loveth it. It's very pure, then why you won't mess with it all the time? Why you won't criticize it and try to check it out and talk about lost so much? I can't put that stuff on, and I ain't going to put it on. You call me ignorant, I don't care what you call me, I call myself a believer. I don't understand how they can believe the miracles of the Bible, but they can't believe the miracle of the Bible. They can believe the miracles in the Bible, but they can't believe the miracle of the Bible. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a weakness of faith is what it is. Anytime you question the authenticity of a 1611 authorized version, you got some faith problems. It's a root problem called lack of faith. Hey, man, Brother Tony, preach on right there. You're doing good. I appreciate you taking a stand on that King James. I appreciate you helping us with that good illustration. Hey, I'm not real deep, but I gave you something right there that'll help you. Yes, I'd have shut them big old Bible critics down, pull them green beans on them. Pull a green bean on them Bible critics, see what they say. Hey, man. Hey, man. Oh, yes. Hadn't changed, man. Purpose hadn't changed. I ain't even quoted enough on them precepts first. I got a few more come up on the screen. I like that. For all scriptures give us praise to God and it's profitable for doctrine. That tells me what is right. For reproof, that tells me what isn't right. For correction, that tells me how to get it right. For instruction in righteousness, that tells me how to keep it right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What about that? Bible don't need no help. Bible don't need a lick of help. Bible needs nigh help. That means none. Hey, man. Precepts hadn't changed. Purpose hadn't changed. This is a fateful saying. Sir, you know what that word fateful means? You know what it means? It's not a hard test. It means never going to change. Always the same. This is a fateful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came in order to save sinners of whom I'm chief. Brother Sammy Allen said if he can save the chief, he'll have no trouble with the Indians. Amen. Hallelujah. He's in the saving business. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's still in the saving business. What about that? That John 10:9, he said, I'm the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in and said he shall be saved and go in and out and find pastures. He said, verse 10, but the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Amen. What about that abundant life? That's why he came. And he still gives abundant life. Amen, right there. It's wonderful. A while ago, I had butterflies in my stomach. Now they're flying in formation, praise God. I'd like to speak about 15 minutes. I never have done it, but I've always wanted to. Amen, friend. Old Dr. John R. Rice said, no man's 30-minute message will do the job his hour message will do. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Hey, you can't preach a week revival in 2 nights. Amen. I might as well go and get 3 or 4 in here tonight. Amen. Is everybody all right? Yeah. I'm talking about, hey, precepts hadn't changed. His purpose hadn't changed. I don't care how long I can't believe what we've digressed to and call it advancement of religion. It's incredible what they're calling that. Go to church. Does everybody give a hand clap for Jesus? Let's worship him. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Ain't nobody getting saved in that atmosphere. Make everybody feel good, religion. 10 steps to a better self-image. Old Joel Osteen and his little Bon Jovi perm. I'm waiting on him any minute. I'm a cowboy. Amen. Get up there. God help that little effeminate something or another. Here at Lakewood. Are y'all listening? Ain't nobody getting saved. You got to get lost before you get saved. They don't even get them lost. They don't talk about hell. He talked, asked him on Larry King. Said, now, Larry King said, now, Joel, why don't y'all ever mention hell? Well, Larry, that's so negative. Duh. And people without Christ are going there. Except a man be born again, he cannot marvel not. Hey, and I say unto you, you must be born again. Amen. They won't even preach about lost anymore. I'm telling y'all something. Look up in here now. It's preaching time. Nobody turn me off because I'm just now starting to feel like preaching. That's a long way. It takes a long time to get warmed up with 5 foot of snow on the ground. Say amen. You got to stoke the fire a little bit. Amen. Man, you got to boil the water a while before you're going to scrape hogs. Say amen. Watch this, sir. His purpose hadn't changed. This is what he said. He said, I've come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. That's why he came. That's why he came. I don't. We've got. What about that Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be. Well, we got some priorities messed up, don't we? Don't get mad, but he didn't say, "Upon this rock I'll build my Christian school." Side overhauls. Hey, man, Brother Tony, that's real good right there. I appreciate that. He didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my Reformers Unanimous. He didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my Bible college. I'm going to tell you what his purpose is about the church. Y'all understand me? Buddy, we've missed focus. We got all these things going on in the churches. I mean, she's way back there on the hind end. The church is the priority. We got now these Christian schools are the dog and the church is the tail and that school just wags it anywhere it wants to. And you know I'm telling it right. I'm not telling something you don't know. Some of y'all don't want to hear it, but you need to hear it. And teaching them to observe all things has nothing to do with algebra and American history. All things whatsoever I've commanded you. He never commanded me geometry. Has nothing to do with it. Amen. It's preaching time. Look up in here. Guess what time it is right now? Preaching time. It's just now kicking in on preaching time. Preaching time. Hey! I'm talking about he ain't changing. Purpose ain't changed. Boy, it's amazing. Oh, and we get undermined with these family deals. Y'all getting quiet on me? I thought family started in Genesis. Only thing Jesus started while he was here was the local church. Argue with me all you want to, but that's the only thing he started was a church. It's amazing to me. Oh, we can't go to every night because Tuesday night is our family night. Man, you've been going to Gothard clinics too long. Let me tell you what family night is. If church is going on, it's family night. If there's a revival and church is going on at a local New Testament fundamental fire-breathing Baptist church, hey, that's family night. If it breaks out for 3 weeks, look up in here and it becomes a protracted meeting, it's every night's family night. But that's where them women run the house. I found that to be true. Men ain't got enough backbone to stand up, bunch of henpecked rascals. Got to ask their mom. I was on soul winning with one of them dudes the other day. He said, oh, pastor, said, I got to check in. We was on visitation, you know. I said, check in? What are you, got your own parole or something? He said, you know what I'm saying, got to check in with the old lady. I said, over my dead body. I check in. I don't know what he's talking about checking. What he had to call her until, because it was past his time out. We was getting into some good soul when he had to call in, check in. God help a man has to live like that. Y'all listening to me? Everybody all right? Some of you women looking a little peaked. Look like a virus is moving in from one side. We might need to call 911 in here, bless God. Amen. Hallelujah. He ain't changed, ma'am. Purpose hadn't changed. Precepts hadn't changed. Let me say this program hadn't changed. Did y'all know, I don't know if y'all know it, but y'all need to know it. And thank God for the atmosphere that's here. Now y'all look at me. But what's going on, what went on in this song service is dinosaur stuff. Did you know it's all about praising God? Long before tongue talkers ever made it here, on Isuzu Street back in 1901, old-time Baptist people were shouting it out. We've regulated praise. Only certain people can do it. I thought the Bible said everything that had breath, praise the Lord. I preach in some of these churches, man, they got them women so subdued. Let me tell you something right now. If a woman can't praise God, I don't want to be here. If she's got to sit over there like a robot, they say, well, Bible said a woman ought to keep silent in the church. Yeah, then why you let her sing congregational music? You're inconsistent is what you are. The whole context of that was a woman interpreting tongues. That's the whole context. Don't tell me that and then let her sing a special. Hey, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Y'all hear me? I want my daughters to want to come to church. I got three shouting daughters. I'm talking about shouting to get filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't care who's there. They don't care if the president of Bob Jones, if Bob Jones III was there with his makeup on and his robe. Y'all listening? Buddy, will they get full? Hey, they'll get full. I'm talking about, and if they do, it's amazing how it's contagious. Their mom will get full. And then I look over there and there's that third generation. I'm talking about there's that generation. There's that granny sitting over there, my mama. It won't take her long to get full either, sir. She'll shout at the drop of a hat and bring her own hat and drop it. That went too fast for y'all. She will shout at the drop of a hat and bring her own hat and drop it. Did y'all get it? His program hadn't changed. Come before his presence with singing, thanksgiving into his courts with praise. We've let these tongue talkers and this praise and worship and all that bunch steal our praise. But we don't want to be identified charismatic. Don't worry, you won't be. You heard about that one Baptist church. A man had a heart attack in the back. Did y'all hear about it? They called 911. They took four men out before they found a man that really was dying. God, are y'all all right? Old Brother Mays Jackson, one of my heroes, old-time preacher. He's preaching, and a woman got excited, got to praising God, shouting it down. And two of the ushers come and grabbed her by the arms and started taking her out of the service. And him up there bragging on Jesus, preaching about heaven, her getting happy. It was enhancing the service. It wasn't hurting it, but they don't, you know that crowd, that upper crust. You know the upper crust are a bunch of crumbs on top. Them highly educated. We used to praise God, but we've been to Bible college. They took two of them, grabbed her, started taking her out the back. She hollered back, said, "Brother Mays, praise God." Said, "Jesus rode one into Jerusalem. I'm riding two to the parking lot." Amen. Hallelujah. His program hadn't changed. It don't matter what the deadheads say. His program hadn't changed. Amen. He's a changeless God. That's good news in a dark day. Can I say he's a coming God? He's a coming God. He talked about him coming right there. Look at it, chapter number 3. Down there about that third column. Who's got a Schofield somewhere in here? I'm looking for somebody's real spiritual. Who's got one? Good night, this backslid crowd. Praise. Let me see that, sir. Man, I felt something when I saw you sitting back there. Isn't it amazing how he just come right to you? Isn't that something? Look at verse number 16, chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and put a book of remembrance was written before him, afore them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And he said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, when I come to make up my jewels, when I gather my jewels." Now you that are so hyper-dispensational that you say, "Oh, that's not about the church," I'll agree with you. He's coming after Israel. And they're going to be his one day. 144,000 are going to be preaching all over the place. They're going to look at him and see them rooms, and they're going to believe on him. Y'all believe that? How many believe that? Zechariah said they're going to ask, "Where did you receive him?" He said, "I received in the house of my friends." A nation's going to be born in a day. Amen. But don't you think that in this age of grace, young man, that maybe God has a few trophies? Man, maybe just might be somebody in here used to be a drunkard. There's a good possibility that somebody in here used to be a dope head. There's a very good possibility that somebody in here used to smoke a lot of grass. Very good possibility. Very good possibility somebody sold some dope in here. There's very good possibility. Y'all listening to me? Don't you think in this age of grace he's got some trophies? He changed your life and cleaned you up. Made a new creature out of you. "Boy, they shall be mine, saith the Lord." I tell you what, he is good news for a dark day. He's a coming God. Not only is he a changeless God, not only is he a crowned God, not only is he a caring God, but good news, he's a coming God. I like that John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. If I go away," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that there you may be also." I like that. I like that 2 Timothy 4:1. "I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his coming and his kingdom. At his appearing in his kingdom." I like that. And what about that Thessalonians passage? Y'all know it. "I would not have to be ignorant, brethren, concerned with your sleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope." Because we don't sorrow those who have no hope, because Titus 2:13 said we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got a hope. Hope's found in that trump. Revelation 4:1, "And I saw a door open in heaven, and the voices were the sound of a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up hither." And you won't hear the church mentioned again after chapter 4 until you get over there at judgment. Everybody okay? Yeah. I'm talking about he's coming. The heartbeat of the Bible is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just the marginal note. It's not the fill-in. It's the melody of the song. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. "Unto them that look for me the second time shall he appear." Jesus is coming. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And right there messes up Pensacola right there real bad, that shout. I wonder how they're going to handle it when Jesus come back shouting. I mean, what they going to do? They going to give him demerits? They going to send him to the dean of students? What they going to do? You say, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, Brother Mays Jackson was my real good friend. He was my real good friend. Preached for me 7-8 times before he died. Preached for my daddy week revivals. Sometime went into 2 weeks. Don't tell me I don't know something about them Jacksons. Everybody okay? Hey, there ain't no shouting going on down there in Pensacola. You bank. Hey, you can get glad the same bridge you got Maddie, and I was preaching for it. Come, I'll preach it when I leave. They'll put you out of school down there worshiping God. You act like we acted right here. They'd get security guards and take us all off the campus. Hey, don't ask me to come if you don't mean to tell it like it is. Don't even ask me to come if you don't mean to tell it like it is. Just look up in here. Don't ask me to come if you don't mean to tell it like it is. Y'all getting awfully quiet like you don't like this. You better start liking it, because that's when I preach the longest, when I feel them kinks. They would arrest us and take us off that campus so we wouldn't contaminate the rest of that crowd. Because see, if you ever get happy in God, you'll never be the same. Because the joy of the Lord's our strength. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And if you ever get a drink of this old time water, you won't ever be the same. Amen. I know I'm telling it right. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. What was I talking about before I got so rudely interrupted by the Holy Ghost? He's coming with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and ain't shall be caught up. That's that word harpazo. I don't know much about Greek. I'm English only. But look up in here, ma'am. It said harpazo, at Greek word. That's where we get the root word harpoon. It means to lift up and out. It means to transport swiftly from one place to another. Harpazo. It means to rescue. It means to rescue from danger. Harpazo. Hallelujah. He's coming. He said, we which are alive and remain should be caught up together. He said, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word caught up is. That's pretty good. That'd be a pretty good synonym, caught up. To meet the Lord. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort. I'm going to tell you, I find no comfort in having to refuse the mark of the beast and be beheaded. You say, can anybody be saved in tribulation? Yep. If they will refuse the mark of the beast and get the head cut off. That Left Behind series wrong about that deal, about that preacher. That preacher's been preaching the gospel, heard the gospel, and get saved later. My hind leg. That ain't happening, dude. That ain't happening. Bible said his own elect would be sent a strong delusion, so that even his own elect wouldn't even believe a lie. Well, they believe a lie. That's what's going to happen. Jesus is coming. He's coming real quick, and he said, comfort. I find no comfort in having to be beheaded and refuse a mark of the beast. I find no comfort in that. I tell you what, I don't find comfort in having to endure 3.5. These mid-tribbers that's been running around here talking about we're going to have to stay here, you know, till it real gets real bad. Well, we're going to be in tribulation, but we will not be in the great tribulation. He's not reserved us under wrath. let's just stop right there and everybody say hallelujah. Good. I thought y'all could do it. Comfort. I tell you, I find comfort. Come up hither. Y'all come on up now. We've had enough. That's where my comfort comes in. You can stay around for 3.5. You can endure all 7. I'm leaving on the first load. Amen. I'm pulling out on trumpet sound. Hey, and those that have been tuned in to WBLOOD, they'll be hearing that trumpet. We'll hear it, friend, just loud and clear. And old gravity's going to lose her pull. And this robe of flesh will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet eye. We're going face to face one day. Amen. My eyes shall behold him. Hallelujah to God. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus comes again. Amen. He's coming. He's coming soon. I'm talking about he's a claiming God. But now I've preached all that. That's all introduction. Can y'all handle the real message? That's all introduction. Here comes the real message. Is this water city water? Boy, there's a little amoeba swimming in that thing. They told me when you go up north, don't drink the water. You can drink the water in Mexico, but don't drink the water up north. Watch this. Look at the last chapter 4. I'm through almost. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteous shall arise with healing in his wings. That Son of Righteous, that S-U-N, is talking about the S-O-N. That's one of the 286 names of our Savior, Son of Righteousness. He's come with healing in his wings. He'll be back. And I tell you what helps me in this hour in which we live, and I'm closing with this thought because I believe we're here. There's a lot of hurting people. There's hurting families here. I pastor hurting people. I'm thinking right now of a couple, one of many couples, set towards the back of our church who's all three of their sons brought up in church, got out of the house, never darkened the doors of church. Married girls said they're going to be in church, lied to me while we canceled them. We would counsel with them prior to marriage. Are we going to be in church every time the doors open? Don't ever come. Got married, ain't seen them since. They're heartbroken. Y'all listening? Yeah. I see families that are hurting. I see single mothers in our church that are hurting. I see daddies that their wife prayed, oh God, did stand up on Wednesday night, would y'all pray my husband to get saved? Pray my husband to get saved. Well, they did get saved. Then they start tithing of their income. Then they start going on soul winning visitation. And then they start wanting to go to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night and every night of the revival. And then they want to go in there in the wardrobe and change some things that the wife's been wearing. Look like they've been glued on. Amen, sprayed on. So tight they squeak when they walk. Put a quarter in their back pocket, tell if it's heads or tails. Amen, friend. Y'all listen at me? Got so many slits in it, in cut, out cut, low cut, side cut. Look up in here. Look like they had to crawl through a barbed wire fence to get to church. Say amen. Got more flesh showing in a Mexican meat market. Say amen, bless God. Everybody all right? And then all of a sudden, they quit coming. I look at that husband who's sitting there wishing his wife would be with him. They're hurting people. You can get hurt. Did you know pastors can get hurt? You're not, by the way, you're not the only person who can get your feelings hurt. It's amazing. Pastor didn't say nothing to me. Pastor hurt my feet. Pastor didn't say. Pastor's being. What about the pastor, too? He gets hurt, too. You're not the only one who got feelings. Watch what he said. But the Son of Righteous shall arise. Notice these were with healing in his wings. I submit to you on the authority of the Scripture, he's a curing God. Now listen to what he can cure, sir. He can cure a wayward saint. Don't give up praying on your children if they're not right with God. Don't give up because I'm going to tell you something. He's in that business of reclaiming the backslider. Some of the most effective servants we've got, some that got out in the world and God had to whoop them. And parents didn't bail them out every time. Let them learn their lesson. Amen. Bail them out. And they lie to you all the time. I just need this money for rent. Go out there and get that Oxycontin. Bunch of Baptist dope addicts. Bunch of Baptist drug addicts. All this codeine, Oxycontin, bless God, dope addicts. Y'all listening? Some of y'all, some of look like y'all had a hit or two before you come in. Amen. Amen, friend. Watch this. Everybody all right? Y'all look like that kind of kinked a little right there. Watch this now. They're hurting people. He can cure a wounded soldier. There's been times I've been hurt, Pastor, and I couldn't even tell my wife because my wife's mean as a copperhead snake. If I told her some of the stuff that's happened to me, honestly, she'd hurt people in the church. Y'all understand, like her maiden name's Martinez. Those people carry knives and guns. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've never met a Martinez that didn't have a knife on him. Are you listening to me? My wife goes to bed with a switchblade. I'm talking about sharp on both sides. Cut you going and cut you coming, bless God. I'm scared of my wife. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, I can't even tell her some stuff happens to me. I have to get on that altar, but there's the balm in Gilead. There's still a great physician. He can cure a wicked society. I'm not looking for worldwide revival, but I believe God can change people. He can turn this nation back to him. Obama or no Obama. Amen. He's in that kind of business. But now, hell, I'm through. I'm going to illustrate. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm through. I've come in for a landing. Y'all been real good listeners. I started about an hour ago, and y'all have done very well. I mean, I'm amazed Yankees can take this kind of preaching as long. I'll be back tomorrow night, and I won't preach as long tomorrow night. If y'all come back tomorrow night, I won't preach as long. I'll about 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I won't preach as long tomorrow night. I promise I'll preach longer. All right. Whoa. Y'all all right? I'm almost through. When I was growing up in the South, we went barefooted. Now, I don't know if y'all, it's the cold weather up here. You know, the snow melts in May and starts back in August. You know what I mean? But I mean, I grew up barefooted. You would exercise your toughness by how gravels you could run on. I mean, honest, y'all understand what I'm talking about? We grew up barefooted. Mother's Day of the year, when I grew up, man, Mother's Day, we took our shoes off at Mother's Day, didn't have to put them back on until school started back. Amen. We'd wear them to school. I mean, get them off as soon as we could. Went barefooted all the time. But then we, about school, at first of the school year, fall of the year, we'd go get school clothes. I remember go get school clothes. And we didn't have a bunch of options on Air Jordans and Shocks and Nike. We had Chuck Taylors. Now hippies wear them, think it's cool, but that's the only thing we had was them canvas Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes. You had red, white, or black. And if you wanted to be cool, you'd swap the laces. Like put red laces with black, and you're styling and profiling. And my mama was a tightwad, still is a tightwad. Y'all know what a tightwad is? I mean, she's so stingy, she squeaks when she walks. Look up at her. I mean, she's tighter than bark on a tree. Watch this. That boy, he can give me some good courtesy laughs over. He don't even know what that means. Ah! I need him in my church, man. Ah, ha, ha, you right. Watch it. And she always bought my shoes too big. And it's what she'd say, well, he's a growing boy. He's growing into him. He'll grow into him. And then she'd put, honestly, she'd buy them things a size or two, and they'd curl up on him, look like elf shoes. And inevitably, you put those kind of shoes on. I don't care what kind of socks you put on. You run, they're going to rub on you. And they'd rub blisters on the back of my heel. Sometimes I get blisters big as a half a dollar, ma'am. And my mama's old-timey. They have old mountain ways. And she'd go in there. I'd come in, Mama, look here, I got a blister. And then sometime, you know, you get hurt. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Blister, big old blood things hurt. And then in the summertime, we'd run around. You ever heard of stubbing your toe? That's when three layers of epidermis are pulled back and your toe's sitting there just skeeting blood out the end. It's throbbing. It's called stubbing your toe. I remember I stubbed my toe. I come running, Mama, come here. She'd say, what is it? I said, I've just stubbed my toe. And she'd look at it and say, well, hold on. She'd call my sister, Sherry, Donna, KK, come here a minute. And she'd say, now, Sherry, you put your hand, hold his shoulders. And Donna, you hold, press down on his knee, and KK, you get ready to blow. Now, this was long before Benny Hinn come in. I thought my mom was going to be, you know, spiritual healing here. And then she'd go to the medicine cabinet, that old sheet metal medicine cabinet, and she'd open up and she'd go, skrrr, where that old condensation rust was on that sheet metal. Somebody help me. Or that shower's been too. And she'd say, no methylate. And when she did, I'd say, wow, glory to God. But she'd say, I do have some mercurial chrome. Now, can I get a witness right here? I'm not talking about this effeminate back teen generation. I'm not talking about Neosporum. Daniel, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about something, sir, that causes excruciating pain. We didn't have Neosporum. We didn't have Bactine. We had methylate and mercurochrome. And that's the next thing to the electric chair. They ought to punish criminals with that stuff. Say amen. Man, she come in there and she said, all right, girls, y'all hold him down. Man, my older sister got her hands on my shoulder, pressing on me. I mean, man, I'm thinking she's fixing to give me a spoon to bite on. Man, and she holding my knee, and then she'd say, KK, get ready to blow. And she'd turn that old brown glass bottle. I'm going to tell you how stout it is. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's got a glass applicator and a rubber stopper, and on the side of it, it's got a skull and crossbones. They put on our bodies, it has skull and crossbones. And they going to put, I said, no. She said, yeah. I said, no, Mama, no. She said, son, I have to. I said, please, Mama, cut it off for the song. I'm telling you, it'd feel better be have your foot sawed off. Help me, somebody. And she helped me, and she turned that bottle to the side, and it would gather a big old bead of that. I'm talking about it would be hanging, and then she would douse that open wound with that methylate. You talk about hurting, and she'd say, blow, KKKK. Spit all over my foot. It's a wonder my toe hadn't rotted off. She'd take that hide, look what she'd push that skin back over that toe. It's throbbing, it's burning. And she'd say, I know it hurts, but it'll help. That still echoes in my mind when I'm having them nightmares. Man, I have Vietnam flashbacks. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Man, I can hear bombs going off. All I hear is, it's going to hurt, but it's going to help. Throbbing. But I'm talking about in about 2 days. That thing tough as a cob. You know what I'm trying? I want to help you this minute. Sometimes it's got to hurt to help. We're living in such a society now, we want no discomfort. Epidurals to have a baby delivered. Women in there watching TV, laughing. Last baby my wife had, she's laughing up. Look at that thing spiking up there with them contractions. How y'all doing? Come on in, everybody. When I was a boy, I mean, it was in there. Man, no, man, daddy's run out and jump out the window. Somebody help me. Nothing's hard anymore. Look what we've produced. Sometimes it's got to hurt to help. We're living in a society right now. Our churches are going through some stuff that we may have to have some hurting to get some help. He said, I got a word from the Lord. He's a caring God. He loves you. He's a crowned God. He's still in control. Don't let the score bother you. I read Revelation 19. We are on the winning side. We're coming back. I done read the last chapter. He's a claiming God. He's a changeless God. He's a curing God. Don't give up on your family. Some of you may be teetering on a line of the will of God. You're on the borderline of the will of God. Why don't tonight, before he has to cure you, before he has to open the bottle, why don't you get up here on this altar and say, Lord, you're not going to have to whoop me. I'm coming. I'll find you. Well, let's stand together. You've been good listeners. Thank you. Our pianist is coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you to do something tonight. How many in this room would say, Brother Tony, the message was for me? God spoke to me. Would you slip up your hand? The message was for me. The message was for me. Well, if it was for you, then why don't you find a place on this altar right now and let's do business with him. While Brother Daniel begins to sing, the message was for me. No doubt about it, the message was for me. Would you come? We'll wait on you. The message was for me. Come get a hold of him. God brought the message for my heart tonight. No doubt about that. God brought a message for me. Message was for me. Message was for me. Any others want to join this crowd? It's serious business in these altars now. God help us. Oh, God help us this evening. Now, many Christians are praying. Let me ask you a question. How many in this room that remain in your seat could testify by the uplift hand you know you're saved? Could you lift your hand? I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know I'm saved. You lift your hand to testify you know you're saved. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know they're saved. You're probably in the most conducive atmosphere for conversion you're going to ever be in. I mean, you're not going to be in a better place to get saved than where you are tonight. Let me be honest with you, Brother Tony, I don't even know that I'm a Christian. I have doubts about it. I have some fears about eternity. I don't have peace in my heart that if I died, I'd go to him. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Slip up your hand and say, pray for me. Be honest. Hey, why don't you get that thing settled tonight if there's any question about it? Maybe you're in the altar, around this altar, and you say, I just got some questions about it, Brother Tony. And by the uplifted hand, you're requesting, Lord, help me. Don't know that I'm saved. I got some doubts about it. Anybody like that at all? Brother Daniel's going to sing on. These invitations is open for everybody. Why don't you come get saved tonight if you're lost? Why don't you come get right if you're wayward? It's a good time to do it. While the waters are being stirred, why don't you come get in the pool? While he sings this other verse, you mind the Lord. Come now. Come now. Come now. Yes. Don't delay. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption, and quench not the Spirit. Don't quench him and don't grieve him. Don't quench him and don't grieve him. God's dealing with your heart. Would you come? You'll be glad if you mind God tonight. You'll be glad if you mind the Lord. Man. Oh, let's do what God would bid us to do. God help us. Oh, yes. Well, our Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for your word. The Word of God never has been wasted. It's always used effectively. You said it wouldn't return void. Lord, I pray tonight for those decisions that have been made around this altar. I pray they'd be lasting decisions that would be a turning point in some Christians' lives as we await the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I pray for those decisions that should have been made that weren't made. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, for it's eternally too late. I pray that you would work in hearts. Continue to work in hearts. I pray that they would be receptive. And Lord, I pray that lost people, even tonight, before they pillow their head, would take care of the business of being saved. Lord, I pray they'd allow you, Lord, to work in their lives. Let them contact the right person, family member, friend, their pastor, Sunday school teacher, that'd help them. Lord, I pray for these nights of meeting. Pray that the nights ahead that, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to cultivate a want to and an appetite for the things of God. It's evident these people have come into this place wanting something. They've received the Word of God well. And I pray that you would reward them for their listening. And I pray that you'd burn in their hearts a desire to please you. Lord Jesus, let us leave these walls with a determination as Daniel of old, a purpose in our hearts. We'll not defile ourselves with the world. We'll make a difference in this world. Let us be a light to those in darkness. Even tomorrow, Give us wisdom beyond our age and open our eyes to the need of others that may be around us lost and undone. Use us as witnesses. I pray you'd bless this solid.